May the Lord help us to commence our anniversary services with hymn 477. Give me the wings of faith to rise within the veil and see the saints above. How great their joys, how bright their glories be. Hymn 477.
Thank you. together from the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians, reading the first and second chapters. Paul's Epistle to the Colossians, reading the first and second chapters. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth in you, also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that she might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. By him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, or principalities or power. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. But he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. But please the Father, that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Be continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I am, a Paul, am made a minister. Do now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labour, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, and also ye are risen with him through the faith, the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. No man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Or if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all are to perish with his using, with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship, and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honour to the satisfying of the flesh. Dear Lord, once more we approach thy mercy seat. Again and again in life's pathway we have come there, proved it to be a place of strength and blessing to our souls. We come to thee as hearers and preacher this day and seek, gracious God, the anointing of thy Spirit to rest upon the foolishness of preaching. And pray, gracious God, that the preaching of the gospel may be made a blessing and a strengthening in the hearts of the hearers, the congregation, that thy word may have free course and be glorified in their hearts, that they may feed upon the truth, find it sweet to their taste, yea, sweeter than the honeycomb, that it may come with life and power into their souls, and Lord, may have a gracious effect, even a raising up of hope and a strengthening of those things that remain that are ready to perish. But Lord, there is in the hearts and lives of thy church the great trial of faith. And we need daily manna as thy ancient people needed it in the wilderness. We need, Lord, that bread and water of life in our souls. We need a word spoken in season. One said how good it is. And so, dear Lord, we pray, thou send down the Holy Spirit of truth, to take of the things of Jesus and to reveal them in the hearts of thy people, that there may be that growth in grace and in the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord, that there may be that humbling work in our hearts. We may be brought to be as little children at thy mercy seat, to be given grace to trust in thee, that we might be strengthened, dear Lord, with all might in the inner man. For it is what we need. We need an increase of faith. Oh, grant it to us. One said, oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. And Lord, we pray for that gift of faith, that we may be enabled to trust in thee at all times and to pour out our heart before thee. Thou seest what we need, each one of us, whether we need bringing down or lifting up, Lord, whether we need a word of rebuke or a word of encouragement, we need thy constant keeping care. Alive when wounded, dead when whole. And Lord, we need the crosses and the thorns in the flesh to keep us down. We need to be brought to know our weakness well, to desire thy strength. Gracious God, we seek that thou wouldst do for us what thou seest we need. Be our teacher. Lead us forth by that right way. May we know, gracious God, those everlasting arms underneath. Oh, how much we feel to need it. We're in thy hands, immortal creature. Our days are numbered. Our breath is in thy hand. And yet, dear Lord, we have a hope that thou hast thoughts towards us. Thy dear servant had that word from thy lips. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Give you an expected end. And Lord, we come to thee conscious. Guilt and sin, carnality, corruption in our hearts. We come to thee conscious that we deserve not the least of thy mercy. One said unworthy to be fed. And yet, dear Lord, we come to thee conscious of thy word of truth. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And thou hast said in thy word, thou thoughtest, I was altogether such an one as thyself. We come as beggars, poor at mercy's door. We have no claim. We bring nothing. We come with the language of thy dear servant, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. We come to thee, Lord, dependent upon thy mercy. And we seek, as Queen Esther did, the extension of that scepter of mercy to us each. Oh, come and work by thy Spirit, Lord. May we be those numbered amongst those who constantly feel the need of mercy, of sovereign grace, who need, Lord, to come to thee as beggar. O come, we pray thee, and look down this day, and lead us to the hearts and paths, experiences, footsteps of the flock, that thy holy word may be made suitable, that, Lord, we may know its strength. A word spoken from thee into our hearts. The giving of a exceeding great and precious promise. Sinners can say we hear from lips of him right and only thy. How precious is the Saviour. And Lord, we pray at this time that light of thy Spirit may go forth as that heavenly wind and blow in the hearts of the hearers, and grant, gracious God, a knowledge of their fallen nature, that a new birth, the Lord, may be manifest in this place, that thy call may be heard effectually, and gracious God, that there may be a coming to thee, to thy mercy seat, to commune with thee, and to hear thy voice, to be brought, dear Lord, to that blessed place of faith in the only sacrifice that did for sin atone, to cast our eyes, to fix our hopes on Christ alone. Oh, what a mighty work is the work of salvation. Created in Christ Jesus, we read of thy dear church, and the good works which God hath foreordained that ye should walk in them. We thank thee, Lord, that there is a mercy seat, a blood sprinkled mercy seat. We thank thee there is one who we can come to with all our sin and load of guilt, unworthiness, and approach that mercy seat again and again. And said daily, I'd repent of sin. Daily wash in Calvary's blood. Dear Lord, we would. We would seek that blessed fountain, open for sin and uncleanness, the blood of sprinkling upon our hearts and consciences, that we might know thee, whom to know is life eternal. That we might be brought in our pathway into the peace of God, to know the truth of that peace by his cross, as Jesus made the church's everlasting head. Oh, may we have that in our hearts, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Gracious God, grant that peace to those who have never known it before, and to those who have known it, grant it again and again. The rest of faith in Christ, resulting in a good hope, through grace, a sweet hope that be well when called to die. You sung in our opening hymn of the glories of Emmanuel's land. We have watched in our pathway so many have gone to be with thee, which is far better. And O Lord, we would follow in their footsteps. They marked the footsteps that he trod. His zeal inspired their breast, and following their incarnate God, possessed the promised rest. Gracious God, work. We beseech thee in the congregation this day, and grant fruit, that there may be a sowing of a seed, plying of the truth in the heart, and there may be, gracious God, that fruit in days to come, even the work of thy Spirit. We thank thee, gracious God, for the work thou hast and art accomplishing. We watch it, we see it, the secret hidden work, the conscious, the seed has been sown. Lord, we desire to see it come to fruition. The obedience of living faith to be manifested in the profession of thy holy name. The leading forth, Lord, in confession of thee, speaking of what thou hast done. What we ask here, we ask in all the churches. But dear Lord, we mourn the silence. And yet, we're thankful that thou reignest, and the government is upon thy shoulders. The work is the work of thy Spirit. And in these dark and evil days in which we're living, when the truth is at a low ebb, the power of the Spirit is much withheld, if you come to thy court, if you have any hunger and thirst after thyself. Yet, gracious God, we would not despise the day of small things, but would take courage that thou remainest, that thou abidest faithful, that thou changest not. Look down then, we pray thee, Lord, at this time. We come to another anniversary of our life. The years pass on. We're deeply conscious of it. But, O gracious God, we pray that we might be able to look back and to remember all the way the Lord our God has led us. Grant it may be so this day, Lord, that we might have something we can look back to, something to thy honour and glory of that work which thou art the author and the finisher. One all in sickness and affliction, pray for thy dear servant and his loved one, we would remember him in deepest affection. Lord, look down upon him. The bitter sorrows of his heart. Look upon his dear one in the weakness of the flesh. And oh, be with them each in these solemn hours, that thy name might be honoured and glorified in both their hearts. One resting on thyself, going down into that valley of the shadow of the dead, and the other sustained and comforted by thy Spirit. But Lord, thou art able to sanctify the darkest clouds of life's pathway and to bring glory to thy holy name. We have known that pathway and have known thy presence, that faithfulness in an hour of great need. And Lord, thou hast, even in the congregation here, thy dear children know, have walked through deep water, the solemn pathway, they can testify to thy presence in it, and, Lord, to the benefit and profit of their never dying soul, that they pass that way in thy own ordered time and footsteps for their soul's eternal good. Oh, look down then, we pray thee, upon thy sent servant. We beseech thee to send other labourers into thy vineyard. O Lord, remember Zion. Raise up and equip those whom thou hast ordained to the work. Send them forth in thy own time and way. Move by thy Spirit, we pray thee, and favour Zion once again with a generation of thy servants who have dipped their foot in oil and are made acceptable to the brethren. We thank thee for those young ones thou hast recently sent out. Gracious God, we know that thou wilt support them in the heavy burden of the work of the ministry. We know, Lord, that they're young in the way. But may they ever be amongst those who have dipped their foot in oil, the oil of the gospel, and are made acceptable to the brethren. Gracious God, look upon this church and congregation. They come to another anniversary. We bear the deacons up before thee in office. Lord, support, sustain. And oh, we pray, Lord, that there was move and work in the midst. The work is thine. Lord, as in nature, so in grace. First the blade, then the ear, and the full core. We pray it may be so here. And what we ask here, we ask for the churches. Lord, look down in this dark day. We are but a tiny remnant in the land. The days are dark and evil, and the clouds of persecution are arising on the horizon. O gracious God, grant that thy dear church may stand in this evil day, and having done all to stand, they may be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, being able to take to themselves the whole armour of God. Gracious God, we pray for this darkened land, has commanded us to pray for those in authority over us. Pray for the Queen and the Royal Household, Prime Minister, his Cabinet, our Parliamentary Assembly. Lord, in a few days, thou seest, there will be made important decisions in this godless land. We deserve thy judgments. They are indeed upon us. Bankrupt, spiritually, morally, financially, oh, that we might yet, as a nation, be brought back from this godless heathen darkness to thy holy word. Leave us not to hide our light under a bushel, or maybe set on a hill. Leave us not to be ashamed of thee in this sinful an adulterous generation. May we ever be given grace and wisdom to speak a word in season. Lord, raise up God-fearing men in the midst. It can be thy sovereign will in our parliamentary assembly. And oh, grant the outpouring of thy Spirit yet once again. For we know that that alone, as it has been manifest in this land, generations past, can turn the great tides of darkness. Preserve to us our national sovereignty and freedom, our Protestant Reformed heritage and constitution. Lord, how much is solemnly under threat. The gracious God, we pray, thou hear the prayers of the remnant that wrestle with thee, that thou yet have mercy on this land. And oh, pour out thy Spirit. May many be called out of nature's darkness into thy marvellous light. Be raised up to serve thee in the day and generation. Now, Lord, we come to thy holy word. Lead us into the truths that it contains. Oh, grant us understanding the anointing of thy Holy Spirit. At our lips with a live coal from thy heavenly altar. And gracious God, fill an earthen vessel, as we would see to commit all into thy dear hands, Lord Jesus Christ, and pray that thou wouldst remember us at this hour, and use thy word of truth. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 950. What object's this which meets my eyes without Jerusalem's gate, which fills my mind with such surprise as wonder to create? Hymn 950.
Seeking the Lord's help, I direct your attention this afternoon to the first chapter of Paul's epistle to the Colossians and the 11th verse. Epistle of Paul to the Colossians, the first chapter and the 11th verse. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. These words can only have any meaning to those who are taught of God. Only to his dear children, whom he has brought to know their poverty and weakness. The world walks in its own strength, in its own confidence. But when God, by his Spirit, touches the hearts of his dear children, they have a solemn sight of themselves before a holy God, brought to know their sin, the evils of their heart, their weakness, and brought to know their utter dependence upon God for all help and strength. I would desire to speak for a little while of this weakness that lies behind the opening word of our text, strengthened. God's dear people in their felt weakness, in their poverty, made by God poor in spirit, feeling their inability to pray, inability to trust him, inability to obey. They're brought down to know that they can do nothing without him. They're emptied of self. It is the Lord's mighty work in their heart to reveal to them their fallen nature, that they're mortal creatures of a day, their breath is in his hands, that they have nothing without him. What a blessed work it is, as the hymn writer says, emptied of self I fain would be. And brought down, as the Lord Jesus Christ said in his sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. How favoured they are to realise where they stand before their God and how they stand in his presence, infinitesimal, unworthy, nothing, before a holy God, guilty, filthy, foul in his sight, black as the tents of Kedar. Do you feel it? It is the hallmark of the work of grace in the hearts of God's dear children. They be brought down, broken, unworthy, before God, at his mercy seat, as beggars. Who of you know what it is to come to his mercy seat in prayer? What do you say to him? What have you told him this day? Perhaps you feel useless. You feel weak. You have a cross to carry, which you feel you cannot carry. You have in your heart an exercise as to why the cross has been laid and the needs be of it. You carry a solemn thorn in the flesh. You've carried it for years. It's been given you by God. What do you need? Oh, your weakness. Your inability to walk in the pathway that is in our text. Patience. Oh, God's dear children, how they want patience. And you know, patience is much more than appears on the surface. Patience is to be able to take up our cross and to endure. Patience is the quality of a soldier in battle who stands in the face of the enemy and resists unto death. It is endurance. God's dear children feel unable to stand. The great winds and tempests of tribulation sweep over them in time, and they are conscious that in themselves they cannot stand. They want, and I say this is solely to the Church of Christ. The world knows nothing of this. It's the living family of God who know these footsteps. They want power to be able to endure. They want strength. And they want a word from the Lord. They want him to speak to them in their heart. They want him to come just where they are. They want him to stoop down. What a great mercy to be brought by his Spirit to a knowledge of himself and to be brought to feel in need of him, his strength, his wisdom, his grace. Because God's dear children have a pathway to walk out. Ordered footsteps. The path, as the Lord has told them, that from the life, when the life of God is begun in their hearts, to the time when he calls them to his immediate presence, it will be a path of tribulation. Through much tribulation, he shall enter the kingdom. The pathway ordered by God. And like the Apostle Paul, one might think that after all he'd passed through, all the suffering sorrows of his life, did he need a thorn in the flesh? Well, he did. He had to learn his weakness. The Lord laid it on him to humble him, to bring down proud nature, lest I should be exalted, he said. There has given me a thorn in the flesh. God moves to make his people feel their weakness. He moves with a purpose. He moves to keep them very low. He moves to humble them. He moves to bring them to self-abasement. And he moves with this, I believe, in view. It is his longing desire that they, coming out of the wilderness, of this world should lean upon their beloved. He loves them with an everlasting love. He knows that poor fallen nature will rise in self-sufficiency. He knows that crosses are needed to bring them down, humble them in the dust, make them beggars at his mercy seat, bring them to cry. There are many dear characters in his day that carried afflictions. You think of the centurion, his daughter at the gates of death. Oh, his heart was broken. He cried out for Christ to come and help him. God's dear children come into the deep waters in life's pathway. Bitter griefs and sorrows. They cannot cope with themselves. Oh, how wonderful they have one who walked this earth, the man of sorrow, understands their case, and who comes down into their pathway and strengthens them with all might in the inner man. Puts his arms of love and mercy about them. And in it all teaches them their own weakness. Brings them to be conscious of their own sin. Brings them to himself. To apply his precious blood in their hearts and consciences. The Lord knows how to deal with his dear people. He would bring them to a place where in their weakness they long to have those everlasting arms underneath. To be lifted up. You see, it's spiritual poverty, spiritual weakness, times of great sorrow and heavy crosses that are the avenue to Christ. Avenue to the man of sorrow. And my mind turns to this afternoon, strengthened by Christ. Where did that strength come from? You might say, well, he was God. He had almighty strength. He was almighty. What was the avenue to the strength of his dear people? I tell you this, it was his weakness. It was his weakness on Calvary's cross. There's a beautiful few words in the second epistle of Paul to the church at Corinth. It is this: we are weak with him. That is fellowship with him in his sufferings. The hymn writer says, who his weakness knows? Ah, there are those poor in spirit, broken in heart, carrying heavy crosses, sometimes physically, bitter sufferings and agonies of pain, sometimes great agonies of mind and sorrow and grief. Ah, we're weak with him, says the Apostle Paul. And he knew it. Why, the Lord gave him his thorn in the flesh. What a part it was. There's a beautiful pattern there for the children of God. The Lord gave to his dear servant that thorn, and in his unwisdom, he desired to have it taken away. He could not see the value or the point and purpose of it, but he did later. The Lord gave him a promise. Who needs a promise? Do you? Would this afternoon a fear not be any good to you? It's only good to those who need it. For those who are under a cloud, for those who feel they cannot cope, oh, to hear a fear not from Christ. And to hear those blessed words, I am with thee, that is strength. Where did that strength come from with Christ? Oh, I believe this, his suffering, his sorrow, the pathway he walked when here on earth for his dear church. He knows what sore temptations mean, for he has felt the same. And when the Apostle Paul asked to have his thorn in the flesh taken away, the Lord answered him so differently to what he expected. But, oh, the wisdom and the grace of God, as he looked down upon his servant in all the weakness that he laid upon him. Yes, there was a promise, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength. My strength is made perfect in weakness. We read of Christ in Gethsemane's garden that as he wrestled in prayer, the Lord sent angels and strengthened him. Oh, the Lord strengthened him to pass in his glorious humanity through the cross at Calvary to death. And he does for each of his dear people. He strengthens them in all their needs, all their weakness, all their poverty, all their insufficiency. They have no claim on him. Out of their weakness comes that prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, rise for my help. Undertake for me, said Hezekiah in his great hour of need. I'm oppressed. When I'm weak, then am I strong. What was the promise? My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. What a promise, and what teaching. Has the Lord given you the sweet experience of that teaching in your heart? Do you know, I believe there are those of you who do know it here this afternoon. Strength made perfect in weakness. You will find that Christ comes to his dear people when most they need his helping hand. I've proved it. This friend is always near. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. And he answered the prayer of his dear servant, Apostle Paul, with that cross, that thorn in the flesh, which I believe never left him. But he carried the divine strength of one who himself had passed that way and knew the path of weakness, knew the path of temptation, knew the path of sorrows. He knows what sore temptations mean, for he's felt the same. And there's a sacred union between Christ and his church as they're brought to him in their need and their poverty and their ruin. They have a merciful and a faithful high priest to go unto, one who understands. And the apostle had that a lesson indelibly written in his heart. My strength is made perfect in weakness. I might put it like this. The weaker you are, the more heavy your burden, the more crucifying your cross, the deeper your loss, the greater your weakness, the more your value, the strength of your God. We have to come apart, as I've proved in my own life, to do business with God in deep waters, in hours of great weakness, and there to know his presence. One word from the Lord, a word spoken by him in season, how good it is. Spoken in an hour of deepest need. Such a word strengthens, it is, dear people, with all might in the inner man. They're like Elijah, who ran before the chariot of Ahab in the strength of living faith, yet fled from Jezebel in all his weakness. His God never left him. What doest thou here, Elijah? Then you remember that beautiful scene where he felt so unworthy that he asked the Lord to take his life, unworthy to be his servant. And the Lord said to him in that great hour of need, arise and eat. Here is what is so sweet. The journey is too much for thee. And it is with God's dear people. They cannot. They might go in their experience, as the Apostle Paul did, to Carmel, to see the fire descend. The Lord gave him such a glorious revelation of heaven. Yet he was to bring him down to the depth. That he was to lay this blessed lesson in his heart, his need of power and divine strength. Give him a precious blessing. My grace is sufficient for thee. A promise which would carry him through the rest of his days. A word from his God of strength to his heart. Something he could go back to his God with time and time again. Because he says of it, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. So he could go back and say, Lord, thou said, what a blessed mercy. Here this afternoon, you are able before your God with what is locked in your heart and has been given to you to go back to your God. And say, Lord, thou sayest. Can you do it? Favoured character, if you can. And you see, what did he say afterwards? When the words were spoken with divine power in his heart, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. What did he say? There was patience given. No longer did he ask to have the cross taken away. He said most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmity that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I say to you this afternoon, what do you know about the power of Christ resting upon you? Hezekiah knew it. His prayer was answered in his great hour of weakness. Like a crane or a swallow, he said, regarding his prayer, so did I chatter. But the Lord came to his dear servant with mighty strength. He visited his soul with pardoning love and blood. And he could say, in love to my soul thou hast delivered it from the pit of corruption. Thou hast cast all my sins behind my back. And he said that he would go softly all his day, taught by the Spirit, blessed in his heart, a knowledge of his own weakness and of the divine omnipotence and faithfulness, the power of his God. Apostle Paul could most gladly, therefore, he could say, will I glory in my infirmities? The power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. It is the lot of God's dear church to be brought to submission to his holy mind and will, to take up their cross willingly and to follow him, to realize the benefits of the crosses that he places in life's pathway, the benefits of the tribulation and the weakness he brings into the way, that we might learn something of his pathway and have fellowship with the man of sorrow, and know something of his love. Strengthened, I go back to my thoughts regarding Christ. In the deep mystery of it, he himself walked out the footsteps of suffering sorrows, that his dear church might be strengthened by him, by a way of understanding, he understanding their pathway. They knowing that he understood, and having a little sweet fellowship with him in his sufferings, a union and communion one with the other, between a poor, guilty sinner and a precious Christ. And we have to go down into deep valleys to do business with our Lord in deep waters, there to commune with him and have a sight and a realization of all the pathway that he walked out that we might live. His weakness, the avenue to our strength. His sufferings, the avenue to his love and mercy to us in our sufferings and our need. What a deep mystery. And yet, what a glorious mystery. That the way of salvation should be made known to his dear people in their emptiness and poverty, their guilt and sin and corruption, their inability to cease from sinning, that it should be the means of bringing them to cry for mercy at his footstool, and there to beg for pardon. I tell you this, only God's children know the way. Search your heart. Is the preaching of the cross of Christ, the sufferings of the Lamb of God, to you a mystery? Preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. To us which are saved, it is the power of God. Oh, the power that lies in the cross of Christ. The love that lays there for his dear church, the suffering sorrows that lies behind our text this afternoon. For us to know this strength that lies here. He himself passed, bearing a cross, despised and rejected of men, hated without a cause, and yet setting his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem, that his dear people might be strengthened, and that they might be given grace to endure unto the end, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Now, there's one mighty power here, and that is his ability in his sacrifice to pardon the cause of our greatest weakness, and that is sin. Oh, how it weakens God's dear people. Dear Joseph Hart knew something of it. The Holy Spirit shining in his heart showed him where he stood before God. Sins, he says, against the Holy God. Do you know anything of it? Sins against his love, his blood. Do you know anything of it? Peter did. Sins immense as is the sea. Ah, God's dear children, when they have a sight of their God, have a sight of their utter ruin, has the Lord ever showed you? And he can do this in a moment. The sins of a lifetime. Sin brings a sinner to Christ. Felt and known. Seasons smarts but slightly. To own with lip confession is easier still. But, oh, to feel cuts deep beyond expression. What do you know of it? It is the mercy of God to his dear children to show them what they are in his sight and where they stand. And bring them to desire to know this blessed power that lies here. And you see, the strength that lies here in the heart of a poor sinner is pardon and peace. Fear is gone. Guilt is gone. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. These are the footsteps of the flock. And the world knows nothing of it. But the child of God, those in Christ's own lifetime, knew something of it. They have, his dear children, an affliction which they cannot escape themselves. They have a fallen nature, which is their great grief. They cannot, as the apostle said in the 7th of Romans, they cannot keep themselves. When I would do good, evil is present with me. They know it. Who shall deliver me, said Paul, out of the depths of his soul, from this body of death? And he had an answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. There was his strength. We never have more strength than when this precious blood is applied to our hearts. and it was shed in weakness. We never have more strength than when it's applied to our hearts and sin is washed away. Peter readily could describe it as he did the precious blood of Christ. Is it precious to you? Have you known something of it? A sweet touch of mercy and pardon and peace, strengthened with all might by his glorious power. Have you known the power of this precious fountain? Is it glorious in your eyes when you knew it in the day that the Lord spoke into your soul? And applied that blood. Did you know something of its sweet nature? Hymn writer says, redeemed. With Jesus' blood, redeemed. His beauty is called to trace. No angel can with it compare. A sinner saved by grace. When such is spoken into our soul with divine power, and we know something of the redeeming love and blood of Christ, it will be precious beyond measure to us. We shall come in with Peter and be able to say who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. There is forgiveness with him, that he may be feared. Then you know, we come down to the greatest hour of our weakness, in the valley of the shadow of death. Where will your strength and mine be then? Tell you again, in the blood of Christ, in the peace of God which passes all understanding. In the dying hour, to keep our eyes on Jesus fixed, and there our hopes to stay. To be able to do as Bunyan's pilgrim did as he came to cross the Jordan and trembled and feared and sank. An evangelist counseled him to look back over the way. And he could see. What can you see today? He could see those precious spots and places he could not forget. Calvary's cross, where his load was taken from his back. And he knew pardon and peace. The Lord gave him that sacred sealing of the Spirit in that scroll in his hand. And he heard those words. He could not forget it in Jordan. It was there, it was done. It was on that rock he entered the river. And as Bunyan says in his second part of the Progress Christiana, there were those who were fearful all their days. They were subject to bondage through fear of death. And yet he says of one of them, I believe it's Mr. Fearful, the river was never so low when he crossed. He feared all his days. But the strength of God in that hour. Oh, to be in possession of it. And to know in sweet assurance and certainty, be able to say, it is well. It is well. Well, when called to die, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, with all patience and long-suffering, and finally this, with joyfulness. Oh, it's only the grace of God in the weakness of his dear people, when he visits their souls and puts his everlasting arms underneath. They're at peace with him, whatever they have to face and pass through. He is there. His presence is everything to them. They have a little sweet joy in their hours of darkness. And they know him. He is with them. And that is everything. And so with the dear apostle, most gladly therefore, will I glory in my infirmity. This is the pathway of the living family of God. This is fellowship with Christ in his suffering, weakness and strength in the mysterious order. When I'm weak, then am I strong. Amen.
The collections today are for our Needy Cases Fund. A tea will be provided shortly after the close of this service on the right-hand side of the chapel. Let us close with hymn 915. Why, O my soul, art thou dismayed? Why in these tents of sorrow groan? On what have thy fond hopes been stayed? Still seeking rest, but finding none. Hymn 915.
Thank you.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with you each. Amen.